Well, this isn't the first time a president has struggled to pass his legislative agenda, despite his party controlling the White House and both chambers of Congress. Julian Zelizer, presidential historian at Princeton, stops by every week to give us historical perspective. So, Julian, we say lawmakers at a stalemate, Democrats in control, and can't agree with each other. You say, and did say this to us, Jimmy Carter, 1977. Remind us.
Sure. Jimmy Carter was elected as president in 1976. Republicans are still in disarray after Watergate. And Democrats control the Senate with 61 seats and the House by 292 seats. And he pushes an energy program. And Democrats are divided. It stalls because of the Democrats. You have Northerners who weren't happy about some of the measures. You have oil state Democrats who didn't want controls on that part of the energy process. And it takes over a year to get a bill, and the final bill is severely watered down.
Yeah, but it's something, and it also reminds us that, you know, there was work on climate change all those many years ago, and oh, if only it could have gone forward in a bigger way. And by the way, we wish Carter well. He has his 97th birthday this Friday. And it's not just Democrats, of course. In 2005, President George W. Bush fought with fellow Republicans over his Social Security proposals.
Yeah, after he's reelected, he defeats John Kerry. Bush famously says, "I earned capital in this campaign, political capital, and I intend to spend it." And he pushes for Social Security reform to privatize the system. Republicans control both chambers again. But the plan is very unpopular. Democrats use this to attack the president. And many Republicans back off pretty quickly because they see just how unpopular it is in the polls. And by the summer, after Katrina happens, the plan is essentially dead in the water.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the quintessential backroom dealer, President Lyndon B. Johnson. He struggled for years to get his fair housing plan passed. This is during the civil rights era, just coming out of, sort of the Jim Crow era. Many ultra-conservative Democrats were in the Deep South. So remind us what he did and remind us of that time, the context.
In early 1966, as Vietnam is accelerating, he pushes the third part of his civil rights trifecta. This is a bill to end discrimination in the sale or rental of housing. And the civil rights movement, including Martin Luther King, has focused on this issue. But once he sends this idea to the Hill in April of 1966, Democrats are deeply divided. And it's not just Southerners. Many Northern Democrats in states like Illinois and cities like Chicago don't want real estate regulated. And it turns into a two-year battle. And he only gets a bill after Democrats have lost seats in the midterm, many prominent Democrats. And the bill, again, is severely watered down by 1968. So he spends a lot of capital and doesn't really get the legislation he hoped for.
Yeah. Is there anything that Biden can take from that tale? You mentioned midterms. So anything that he can learn there?
Well, sometimes these initiatives will cost you politically, but they might very well be worth it in terms of not only your legacy, but the health of the nation. And Johnson certainly depended on that civil rights movement to sustain his idea over time. And I think Biden can't do this alone, and he can't just do it with his allies on the Hill. He's going to need activists to get him to the final finish line.
But, you know, Julian, people always say, but this is different. This post-Trump era, when, you know, we have people who don't even believe in certain factual things, never mind disagreeing on what's, you know, they know what's true, but they just disagree on it, that this time is different, that there's something different about this time. Do you agree?
Well, it is harder to persuade people. There's fewer persuadables in our electorate. So really the task for a Biden is to try to keep everyone in the party on board. And the good thing for Biden is the divisions are not as severe as these other cases we've talked about. You're really talking about two senators, Senator Manchin and Sinema. And so I think the lesson is he has to go all in really leaning and compromising with these senators to get them on board. He's not going to win Republican support.
Well, what about the progressives in the party when in the 10-year bill or 10-year budget plan?
Yeah. I think he's going to have to lean on both sides. But in some ways, I think the progressives are closer to where the overall party agenda is on the two particular bills that we're talking about. So he has to find the middle, not between the parties, but within his party.
Historian Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton, as always, giving us some context for current events. Julian, thank you.
Thanks for having me.